What happens to the Christian when a lot that is taken into our ritual? But to apostatize, you must profess. And going back to our Matthew chapter 13, it is a kingdom of heaven. And I take it that if that which claims to acknowledge the authority of heaven turns to be totally apostate, and it's that which has made a profession of Christ that turns away from that. Now, and by the way, the deceiver there is in the tabernacle of God, the sanctuary of God, and I think that would bring you to Jerusalem, and I wouldn't just bring it in here, because I think you have to see distinct from the Antichrist or the false prophet, whatever you want to call him, this religious system. For when this religious system is crushed, neither the beast politically nor the false prophet will lose anything of their power. It'll likely increase their power and increase their influence on men. But here we have that which professes to be of the Christian world, that which will be left of that ritualistic system when the true church is to be taken away to himself, and that will turn totally apostate. But again, now we must get down to verse number 3.
Over the nation of Israel, as it set forth in that earth, over the earth, over the people and the tongues of the nations. Of Israel is the church of God exercising over Mohammedan, over millions in this world.
I don't think we have the Mohammedan in here at all. I don't think we have the
Hindu. Right, the next one, sitting on the feet, covering the whole world.
Oh, brother, I haven't gone wrong.
And she's only controlling the 10 kingdom empire, but she's influencing the whole world. Now, can you see this? She's sitting on what? But she has an influence on the whole commercial world outside.
And again, the minority with their wealth can have a tremendous influence on a much wider field. Now please get us down to the monarchs, the merchants, the mariners, and see the tremendous influence that this system has on the present state.
May I ask you a
Well, I agree it will have a worldwide influence and the world will wonder at it, but it will not be universal in its control. It may cause a fear to fall upon many nations, but it will not be universal in its control. Now, you're away to the beast again. Come back to the harlot, the city, whatever you want to call her, and let us see the influence on the monarchs and the merchants.
With this system of which you have spoken quite largely, does this system have a capital, have a center?
Oh yes, it has a center. I believe it's Rome.
And you mean, you think this is involved with the structure of Rome as a capital?
And not so much the physical buildings and all that, but the power that's found in the system, that's influencing so many, and we're evading this again, that's influencing so many. If we only knew the control that this dreadful system has on world rulers, it would likely make us tremble. And mind you, keeping out of the political, we're feeling in this problem that there's an influence that's coming beyond the boundaries of the prophet. And if you ask me where it's coming from, I would find it in this chapter.
I would suggest, Brother Frank, that God has told us this capital. And if we are going to change Babylon into Rome, it seems to me.
Well, now, just a moment, brother. When the true church is seen as a great city, holy Jerusalem coming down from heaven, surely you'll not ask me to give that a geographical setting. And I trust you'll not ask me to give it a physical city, because none of your architects would agree with you. And if we accept that as a symbolical city, and in the context we're looking at another city, we're looking at two women, a bride and a harlot. We're looking at two cities, Jerusalem, holy city, habitation of God amongst his people. And we're looking at this false system, and it's even has buried demons in its snare and in its control. Now please get down to the...
The kings of the earth, I think, you want them to be in verse 3. My simple mind thinks that the kings of the earth refer to the kings of the earth and not limiting it at all to any Western aspect.
Now, and brother, no, just a moment, No, I can't allow you that, because you'll notice that the whore here is seen with her fornication with the kings of the earth. Now, she's still seen in that whorish symbol. Now, brother, come in, please.
This kingdom is yet to be. It's not yet come.
Yes. Yes, but now, wait a minute now. God is remembering something and recalling her iniquities, we will see. And God has a good memory, and is going right back down our history and seeing the blood of the martyrs of Jesus and seeing all her iniquities. And when she gets her recompense, it will correspond to her iniquity. We'll have to get down to that. But now, I want you to try and see her influence worldwide, or else we'll have to move on from it. Right, Brother Welly, just come in quickly now. Yes, I believe that. Well, there again, you see, Jezebel is taken there as a fitting picture to see of the influence behind the scene and the corrupting influence of her teaching upon the Lord's servant. And she is mentioned as a fitting picture or symbol to show of the principle that is working, that has now developed into this dreadful system.
That generation which would bring him to the cross, this I take as the judgment of those whom this system has put to death through the Lord.
Yes, I judge that this is a different account that the Lord has reserved in heaven. I think that's right. Yes. You notice how I handled that. those who have spoken for God and those who have lived for God, that is the prophets, have spoken for God, and many a man lost his life for doing that, and the saints that have lived for God in their godly character. And both have been put to death, Margaret Wilson, and you could name numerous ones, men that have spoken for God and saints that have lived for God, and they have paid for it in their life.
And the market of Jesus was looking at. And I would see the same for the Old Testament population of a believer, just equally as also the same for the New Testament. Being an opposition to God, right down to Jesus, even to the extent of putting that in the fire.
Yes, I don't think I suggested that there were not literal people, because you can't take the head of a man if he's not there. You couldn't take the head of a spirit. But now, could we have a look? Sorry. Because I need your support for the look of this. No.
How we were born? That the Lord Church created according to Joel, through the multitude of all the adults. And I judge that the multitude of those men, to the divine, take this back to the Old Testament. I have said that the man who has commanded in the present era, the tree wasn't born in the New Testament. It commenced during the present age of the younger Testament before. And I say as a people, I see it entirely wrong to take it back further than that. No doubt it's taken some time and have corrupted them, we can see much of evil in it. But I believe that essentially it was a passage of immense insurity in the present age.
Yes, and they were.
Today I would have spoken to you by that from your judgment of the prophet, they can only be subsequent in the New Testament when it's prefaced by a prophet.
Now, no, I judge now in the context. I judge we're dealing with the false that have been in opposition to the true, and dealing with the age covered by the false and the true, and in context. I would say it's those that are slain in the church age.
I think we've got an answer in scripture to the question, and that is back in Mr. Allen's chapter 17, Paul warns Jonathan, notice the repetition of the preposition with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs for Jesus. Mm-hmm. So those statements are not in apposition. The martyrs of Jesus must be New Testament, and I take it therefore that the saints must be Old Testament.
I might differ with you there, but so, seemingly nobody wants to deal with verse number 3, so we'll have to pass on. Let me emphasize again that she has corrupted world leaders, has permeated most of the governments of earth, and has overpowered. Remember when the Pope visits a land and he stoops and kisses the ground, it's not out of respect to that nation, but it's to show that he has mastery over the nation, and to claim them their mind, and has corrupted the monarch, and has intoxicated the nation, has deceived them and excited them, and loaded her luxuries onto them until she has them totally deceived. And the merchants have been enriched by her influence. And that is her effect upon earth. Now, the relationship of God's people with this system, it's seen here in its full-blown character, in its totally apostate state. But I think there will be a guiding line for us here, that we shun all that belongs to this system, that will be seen in its true character in a coming day. That a bride has no fellowship with a harlot. and those that are belong to Christ should never be drawn to this ritualistic system that is really an enemy of the people of God. Yes. And in that coming day, there all who belong to him will be called to be separate from it, because her children and her associates, and back to Thyatira again, will come under the doom that will be meted out to her. That is, all the associates that are clamoring for union with her presently, and all her offspring, all that has sprung from her deceitful doctrine and her charm, are going to come under the judgment that is to be meted out from her, for, to her.
But all here will be especially those who will be saved after this receiving. I'm reckoning I'm going to suggest that. And that just as now we keep away from the corruption, they in a future day will be called upon to hear earth. And that the prophet will be a special center to them, it's still names the name of Christ. And that will give it a little bit of a neighbor, so that they can see the evil in it right away. Now, it can't be just coming out of the system. You don't think that it's not something that you don't think. But believe the system, not the sinner.
If you notice, I was parallel with that, but I got a principle to apply presently. But you notice that the elect will be called even to flee from the literal Jerusalem before the invading armies come. So therefore, this system that is due and will come under the judgment of God, the great God that judges her, all that belong to Christ are called to separate themselves. No association with that corrupt system.
Like in Jeremiah's day, from which this quotation was taken, from a little city.
Yes.
And the thought is that leaving all that belongs to it there. I can see no problem about, again, people morally associated with it, but even physically associated with the system. And they're the leader. And I see it far darker on people than our brethren would even envisage. I see it running through our society now as a principle that will come into full practice whenever the religious aspect is judged. And it's a commercialism that carries the same prostituting character of that which is true. And I see even its tentacles reaching down into our credit card system and all the good living that will be summarized and mounted in the attack that the man of sin, the world ruler, will dominate from his capital and thus control in a way that even Rome is only a shadow of in the last day.
Right. So. No, because you're still carrying forward the symbol of the whore. Her corrupting influence. And if you change your whore, you look on her as a symbol, and you're looking at the same system, and you're looking at a city, and you ask me to accept that the city is literal, and the whore is figurative or symbolical. Now, that would be a strange way. We have already seen that the holy city is symbolical, and I believe the false city is also symbolic. It may have a center on earth, of course, as we know it has. Now, well, save that it is from heaven, and it could be a call from God himself, a call from heaven with voice of God with all the authority of heaven calling his people out of this system. Now, for sins have reached
the
Well, I think this is, a preventative, not suggesting that any that really belong to the Lord will come under the same judgment, but it's God shielding his people. When the hail came upon the land of Egypt, there was no hail in Goshen, that God had separated his people there and preserved them from the destruction that came on Egypt. Now, her sins have reached unto heaven. You can bring in your Tower of Babel there if you like. It's the only reach out to heaven that the poor system has, and it's her sins have reached unto heaven. And God hath remembered her iniquities, and I judge it going back down the years and keeping a record, the ledgers of heaven. The individual will be judged according to his work. And this dreadful system, God has a ledger account with her name at the top. Now, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Now, you could look on double in 2 cents. You can look on it as being 200%. You can look on it as corresponding 100%. I think it's in that corresponding way. She has filled the cup, and God is going to make her drink it. And God is going to mete out to her a corresponding retribution as to the multitude of her iniquity and all the blood that she has shed and all the dishonor that she has brought to his name. For remember, not only is she bringing ruin to the souls of men, but she's bringing dishonor to the Lord's name. Many will say The Muslim will say, if that's Christianity, I want nothing to do with it. That's not Christianity, but it's bringing dishonor to the Lord's name. And all this is remembered by God.
You alluded to the Bible and the fire, I think. I just wondered whether in verse 6, as God judged Babel, so in fact he will judge this Babylon. And I certainly would concur with the idea that it's double means the counterpart, calling as she herself has rewarded, to use that expression, or recommended you, so that she would be recommended.
And she has lived in defiance. All her luxurious wealth that she has shown to men. And she says, I sit as a queen, and I'm no widow. I'm sharing power with the kings of earth. That's what a queen does. And she says, I'm no widow, I'm not desolate, I'm never be in need. And in her pride and defiance, and she'll rise to a height that she is hitherto unknown, and she'll feel that she'll never fall. A wee bit like the attitude of Nebuchadnezzar of old, or even Belshazzar himself. But I think in the term queen, she's thinking of sharing power with the mighty monarchs of earth, and she does that. And then when you think of a widow, you think of a dependent creature. And in the time of its writing, it would be speak of destitution. She says, no, I have no need. And I'm not a dependent creature. But she says, mind you, I'm exerting my influence on the rulers. If you go back to Jezebel again, mind you, it was done in the name of Ahab, but there was a power behind him that slew the Lord's servant. If you care to come in on that one.
One of the lamentations of Jeremiah speaks of Jerusalem. I am in those years of desolation. But now I see it as a gentle expression and move it up as the echo of the language of Babylon from Isaiah 47. I shall not sit as a widow. That language of pride and position and power that says this mother can happen to me. And yet it's that very seat of our power that God answers us and calls upon this.
And you're thinking now even of the harlot idea, you see, with her fornication with the kings of men, her fraternizing with the kings when she's staying in a place as queen, sharing the rule with them.
Both sitting in reputation and our sins, are very strong.
Yeah, what's your thought, brother? Oh, I think that's clear, yes. And a corresponding retribution, a just retribution for all the iniquities of the past. Now, we will have to hurry on because our time is slipping through so quickly. This plagues and famine and utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now, it will be evident to the kings of the earth, it will be evident to the nations that this system has been overthrown. And yet, Brother West, isn't it, her smoke rose up forever and ever. Mind you, it's more than a temporal overthrow. Eternal judgment going to be meted out because of her awful death.
You see, the idea was suggested on Saturday that the priest had world wide authority and that he was reigning over the whole earth and that the ten kings represented all the rulers of the earth. Here are ten kings. I don't think they're on the moon. I don't think they're from any distant land. I believe they're earthly kings. They have their own dominion. I don't believe the woman has any influence, any power over these things, but they'll be saddened at the loss of mercy that they will suffer as the result of their journey. That is, I interest that those nations, you mentioned some of them, that are not in any way influenced by Rome in the direct sense, but have all taken, all neck and neck, out of that mission. Take the garden, take the Pontius stone makers, take all the makers of images, everything was manufactured that made for that system in some way. It would not be needed anymore. It would be a tremendous growth commercial. Because all that fine cloth and all woven for their robes and all their decorations and all those ornaments and all their clothes and everything that has to be manufactured. And all that has to be made for. That's all faith. And when that goes, it's a kind of big loss in their body.
You're into the merchants now, but I certainly think that the kings of the earth go much wider than the ten kingdom empire. Her influence is felt worldwide. And just how far she has permeated into the governments of earth is alone known to God. But certainly a lot of the wars were instigated from this dreadful system and for her interests. And the millions that have been slain and slaughtered in the world, God remembers all this. And these kings of the earth with wonder now, they have committed fornication and lived deliciously, that is, they have drawn from her bounty and wealth, and they have been in wealth enriched by her, shall bewail her and lament when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Now, I don't believe that either the beast or the ten kings associated with them will ever shed a tear. They'll be glad of the burden that's taken off their back. They'll be glad that that dreadful interfering system. I think you have a slight picture of that in Hitler. Hitler was placed into power by Rome. And he resented her interference when he got power. So therefore he overthrew. But I think this is something wider. These kings are going to wail and lament. And the merchants are going to wail and lament. Because all that wealth that has come their way and the power that she has kept them in, this dreadful system now is gone and defeated. the dreadful influence of it. You want to see it as different. Well, then you'll have to take the beast and the ten kings as eating her. You would have to take that in a literal sense, that they actually tore her flesh with their teeth. I think it's language just to express the destruction that will come her way. And mind you, she has acted cruelly. And those powers will act cruelly with her. And they'll confiscate the whole thing. I think that's the ruin that will come upon her. And I'm not suggesting maybe the base of her power will be burnt with literal fire, I don't know, but they'll see that the whole system has come to ruin. And I don't take every expression literal, oh, you'll have to have those kings really eaten. Okay. And we looked on the harlot as a symbol, and you can't eat a symbol.
If you keep symbolic language where it is, you have no call for that in the Revelation. And that symbolic language belongs to chapter 17. But when you come into chapter 18, there is no symbolic language explicitly there. And we ought to settle now this question. In light of the scripture of the Old Testament, you do not believe that Babylon, a little city, will be rebuilt. Would I be correct?
If it is rebuilt, it has a symbol, and you can't eat a symbol.
If you keep symbolic language where it is, you have no thought for that in the Revelation. And that symbolic language belongs to chapter 17. But when you come into chapter 18, there is no symbolic language explicitly there. And we ought to settle now this question. In light of the scripture of the Old Testament, you do not believe that Babylon, a little city, will be rebuilt. Would I be correct?
If it is rebuilt, I don't believe that this present chapter has anything to do with its rebuilding. And again, you must bring in the symbol, because you have committed fornication and live deliciously, shall bewail her in the matter. If you bring in the thought of this fornication, and I take it as figurative speech again, you must keep your symbol in mind, and you must remember that it's still this relationship with this corrupt system that's in mind, and those who have had this relationship with her now will see.
That you've got these harlot creatures around the city that just simply come back to the last verse of the previous chapter. The woman who is down forth is that harlot city. So the woman is the symbol of that issue. And then we've got reference to the woman, the harlot, in chapter 18, is the harlot preaches about the city. So it's still symbolism in relation to the harlot, but it's literal in relation to the city.
But now, he's not allowed to agree. We did see that the harlot was symbolical of a system. And I think where we differed in detail, we agreed that it was seen in the false religion in the last day. I think we agreed on that. And then you want the city to be turned into a literal city?
Well, may I suggest, Brother Sam, a fair reading of the Old Testament prophecies of Isaiah 13:14, Jeremiah 50:51, Isaiah 47, Ezekiel 26, if I remember correctly. There are certain features about the overthrow of Babylon, its suddenness, its completeness, the agency of time, that I submit And I do this. I should say, I know that my brethren take a different view, but I submit the foolish speaker of that destruction were never executed historically. And I, without looking into the present world condition or what's going on in the site of Babylon, the present time, really all that, keeping her out of the picture, to me the scripture demands, for its completeness, the re-establishment of a city that becomes the focus of the commercialism as seen in Zechariah 5, and thus visibly becomes the scene of divine judgment as God acts in Revelation 16 speaks of the throne or the seat of the beast. This is his capital city being destroyed.
Well, now, in chapter 17, we saw this woman sitting on the beast, and it's the beast with the 10 horns. And it's the fourth beast in Daniel that had the 10 horns. And we also saw that beast was the prince of the power that destroyed Jerusalem. That relates him to the Roman sphere, not to the king of the north sphere. And I judge we're dealing here with a system that dominates the Western world, and it is a religious system. Now, I'm holding to my point because I don't want any to go home and be left anywhere vague as to what my mind on the passage is. I still hold that it's this corrupt religious system. Now, could we take a look?
That is, were the prophecies of those Old Testament prophets fulfilled?
Well, to the wonder of Belshazzar was that mighty emperor, and it must have been a wonder to the world, that mighty emperor and the greatest emperor of Gentile world dominion has come to naught. Now, whether it was sudden or not, you may have a difficulty. But there again, you're dealing with a different realm of what you have here. And I think to give you my understanding of chapter 18, you can draw from these other figures, as we've seen on Saturday, when God would refer to the great city of Jerusalem in her then present state, which is Egypt and Sodom. Egypt in her worldliness, Sodom in her corruption. And when you're looking at the false religious system with its mighty power and wealth, well, Babylon is the term that suits the symbol. And that's my mind on it now. And
Well, those prophecies have been fulfilled shouldn't concern us in this passage, because it's not dealing with that line of sight. It's not taking us away down today to show us how the city was built or anything like that. That's not in the passage at all. So therefore, we're not concerned. But the light view has been coined from the Old Testament prophecies. Whether they're going to have a future fulfillment or not, we're not sure.
Suitable characters, suitable symbols, yes.
Thank you. the once foreverness of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus in his offering of the Lamb. We can have no fellowship with that just directly as a system or within the concept of humanism. Let us in the present day realize that the assembly is unique. It is an entity. It is distinct in its testimony in separation of the Lord.
And you do accept, of course, that it's that corrupt system that's referred to here.
And then, agreeing with Andrew, we all agree that the true truth is sustained by the Spirit of God. The false truth can only be sustained by earthly men. And I think one could say that the destroyed of the secret system of the PC back in the end is pretty good. One could say we have to destroy war. We don't have to destroy war because apparently the Vatican City is a separate identity altogether within war. So war doesn't have to be destroyed, but let's remember that one thing. And the Vatican have a privilege within the commercial world that not many other places have. And that's the fact of being true. And that is why, in fact, some of the people in Asia, I mean, talk about multi-millions, multi-million-dollar reasons, whatever currency you want. And if that's as we have spoken about Babylon and Rome, and Babylon fell, the empire fell in many countries. The same thing with Babylon, the religious system that we have mentioned.
Well, it is a confiscation of her goods, it's an overthrow of her power, and to my mind, that will have mighty repercussions in the world of merchants and finance. Now, could we take a look at
something here with regards to I noticed that this now, going back to Jeremiah's day, he was told to hear growing up what they do in the state of Judah and in the state of Jerusalem. The children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire, and the woman meets their goat to make change to the stream of heaven, and to pour out her drink offerings onto the earth blood. Now, I think we all know that that's an arena. So back to Genesis chapter 10, associated with modeling. Now today, and the Roman Catholic system, Mary is given an upgrade to bring that money to the church. So I see a link between the Babylonian system coming up to our day through the Roman Catholic system, but with regards to verse 4, only at this little book. Come ye out of her, my people. If it is a system, be ye not partakers of his sins? Are we not today tainted with regards to the now, I'll read this in the word, and I'll read it again today. Christmas? Easter? Where does that come from? It has come from Babylon. And yesterday it was a tilt and an influence upon sins of God. So I'm willing patiently for practical patience in relation to these festival things that I have a tilt upon the sins of God. We have to be desperate. And God says, come here from God. Or let's
now, I don't think, to be fair to us, that we have evaded practical issues. And whilst we're looking at a system that is professedly Christian, we do see that they have embraced much of paganism. In fact, they're more pagan in character than they are Christian. And we say the only thing that would reach to heaven is their sins.
And We're all touching in by the way, corrupting something that has been appeared. We don't doubt that there's a lot of faith running, but that's not ours.
No, I take it that it's that which was introduced in a Romish way, developing to its ultimate and embracing all of the false Christian profession. Her children brought back to her again, and this is her final doom. Now, yes, still claiming to be Christian, but nothing of Christian in her character. Now, could we get down to these material, because we must hurry on. Please, let us. I want to group all of this material thing that will affect the merchant of earth. She enriches the merchants. She's depending on the supplies she draws from the material support, and her whole character is earthly, material, social, and formal, nothing spiritual.
We'd be afraid to say, would we, that this is God's judgment on Cain's world, the great commercial world that we're all part of. Are we afraid to say that? Have to say that it has to be a religious thing? That we really did it through something that's religious? Do we not see it as the final group of law upon Cain's world, a world without God, even if it has to have a religious thing?
No, brother, in context, I can't divorce it from the religious work, because I see her as a worldly influence with her material wealth, and the merchants depending on her, and she drawing all that she has from earthly sources. Now, I think we should notice that. There's nothing spiritual in the system. She draws everything from earth, and all that she has is material. Now, a quick comment or two on that, please, and we'll move on.
Well, I haven't seen, brother, why you're looking for something spiritual in this. This is, as our brother Cain pointed out, a list of 28 commodities in 7 groups that cover all the materials of earth. The investments of earth, you can go down through gold, silver, precious things in earth, and the ostentation of that, and the raw materials of that, it's the complete collapse, as I see it, not of a spiritual system, but of a commercial system. Then the prime merchants are the great men of the earth. All that principle that has underlay human commerce is now centralized in a great system centered in a city.
But that is...
I just answered the question was raised earlier. The simple answer as to why Babylon has to be rebuilt is very simple. The scripture has not yet been fulfilled. And either Babylon will spiritualize the prophecy, as we condemn others for doing with regard to millennial conditions, and so on, or we take them as little. And I see this chapter as a literal fulfillment, in item by item, of Jeremiah's prophetic view of a city and its.
Well, now, keeping it in its context, I have made it clear that the system here is referred to is not a spiritual system. It is a religious system. But it is commercial, it is material, and all associated with it belongs to this world. I think it's showing how far-reaching the overthrow of this system will be, how it will affect the markets on earth, how it will affect the merchandise, the money that have been enriched and dependent. When they mentioned about Carlin's clothing, they said how many subcontracts and the community that it would affect outside its own peculiar realm, how many were dependent, indirectly, on the operation of that undertaking. And here, we see when the thing is confiscated by the political power in the Western Empire, he'll confiscate it and he'll overthrow its power. It will have far-reaching effects on those who have traded with her. And of course, the material side comes in, and not the merchant for handling material goods.
You could get out of your difficulty holding for the resistance to you if you simply said that after the rupture, after the years of war, that the full resistance system will begin to develop very quickly on a much wider scale with more profound commercial interest. But for the little to a religious system of an existing present, it wouldn't be.
It will develop, certainly, after the true church is gone, but it is developing in our day. Now,
can I just make an appeal to my younger brother? Now, I realize that you have to pursue a career and you have to seek and gain employment in order to support yourself and your family. But I do feel that in many areas there are brethren who are giving themselves over too much to their business side of things, and they're working night and day, and they're not giving themselves to the Word of God. Now that's just a practical line of things, and it's as though we're selling our souls to this sort of system. Now let's get things in perspective. We are concerned with things that are spiritual. We realize that we have to make provisions for our own, but let's get things in perspective.
That's in the expression, bodies and souls. That's in the expression, bodies and souls. We talk about people giving themselves soul and body for this enterprise or for this business. This is the same principle. That's here. The commercial principle that takes hold of a person and brings them into its net.
We certainly would endorse that, and endorse that it has a bearing on the believer. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I wouldn't like to take anything from that, but I don't think that this here is normal trading or normal business. However, now, let us get the response of saints that God would have us, because I want Brother West's chapter to open with a hallelujah, the outcome of this present chapter. Rejoice over her, thou heavens, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And you'll notice the no more. Very often when we think of the dwelling for the redeemed, we emphasize no more sorrow, no more sickness, an absence of everything that would bring grief. But now there's no more at all. And the music will no more be heard in you. And there'll be no craftsman. And there shall be no sound left in thee, and the millstone shall not be heard, and there shall be no more light of the candle. Multitude of no more here. All that they delighted in, all that brought them cheer, all that brought them profit, is forever extinct. And God has avenged the system, and it's the holy apostles and prophets are called upon to rejoice that God has avenged you on her. And I still see the system in opposition to the saints and in opposition to those who belong to the Lord.
Quite a classification of people here in this chapter of the Bible. You have all nations. The beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You have all nations at the end. And in between you have the kings of the earth, the merchant men, and the mariners.
Mm-hmm.
And you most certainly have outlined in this passage
the world of trading.
Mm-hmm.
So the scope of the globe is really within the development of this commercial aspect that you're looking at now. To me, as already earlier been said by someone, it seems to have been circumscribed a little, the trading and the power of this particular Babylon. If you limit Babylon to the world, then you limit the trading. But the trading is worldwide. And Babylon is not Rome, Babylon is something far bigger and larger than Rome. And I think it's clear to see that in this particular passage, where commercialism features more than the religious side, that was already dealt with in chapter 17, very amicably, and we've seen the destruction of that woman, and we've seen the kings of the earth destroy her. For what reason did they destroy her? They destroyed her merely because it was a rule of church over state. But when the state saw the power and the plenty of this woman, then they robbed her of that, as has been done so many times in history. For they require the gain, they require the gold, they require the treasure that she possessed. And from then on, the world moved on. This Babylonian system moved on to complete what it first had begun. But if you do go back to Genesis 10, there is a confederation there. There is an amalgamation of nations before God's happening. And they are moving anti-God to bring back again under an amalgamation of group of nations in our day, of this great commercial age in which some of God's people are presently involved. The business age of this world has its great dangers, but our eyes are not closed to where this world is going in commerce. It is a fact that Judaism is moving in commerce with heathenism. It is a fact that Roman Catholicism is moving in commerce with Protestantism. It is a fact that Mohammed worlds are moving in commerce with Buddhist worlds. And the whole world, in every single religion of this world, is moving commercially with each other. And we are going to see, and going to find, that there will be a centralized confederation of commerce under this control that God himself will ultimately destroy, as he destroyed the city that was built in Genesis chapter 10. And if you go back to the beginning and move through the principle of Babylon and its aims and its objectives, you must surely see that this is a repeat of what has already taken place and will again, but once and for all, come under the government of God.
This kind of more
Well, I took it that it was a cup that she had filled. She had meted out cruelty to the Lord's people, and they hadn't revenged her. But now God is meting that cup back to her, and it's a divine retribution that she is receiving. But now, just a reference to Brother Patterson, remember that the seat of this system is found in the jurisdiction that's seen in the Ten Kingdom Empire. And that will give the beast his power to confiscate the system. And if it was in any other realm, he couldn't confiscate it. And just to close, now it comes back to her. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and all that were slain upon the earth, and that will give you a link back with chapter 17, the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great wonder. That it is the system, as I said before, that has brought such dishonor to the Lord's name, such murder and bloodshed to the Lord's people, such deceit to the nations of men, and God will put it out of existence before he displays the reality and purity of the bride, the Lamb's wife. I take it all that she has been responsible for their murder, going beyond the slaying of saints. She has been responsible for many a war with all its cruelty and millions of deaths, and many of the wars were instituted in her interest and to gain her power, and God will hold her responsible for that. Many of the nations of men haven't seen that. Many of the saints may not realize it, but God has it down in the registers of heaven, and he remembers her iniquity.
Do you see Babylon, Brother Ferguson, do you see Babylon men as anti-Christ or anti-God?
I see it as anti-church. Right, Brother McGrath. And if you take in my simple way of looking at the prophets as those that spoke out for God, and the saints as those who lived their godly life.
Well, I think you
can
get farther than that. For Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, makes it clear that the those that would be endowed with the spirit of prophecy, that even in the spur of the moment, that the spirit of God would be able to give the message.
Now, I'd like to thank you all for your courteous behavior, and my estimation of the men on the platform hadn't changed.
Recognize the evil things and to separate ourselves from them, and to live wholly unto our God, and to serve thee with all our heart. We'd ask that thou would preserve each one, and keep us cleaving to thyself, until traveling days are done. For Christian fellowship, we give the sincere thanks for the presence of God and the liberty of the Holy Spirit in discussion. We do thank thee for all these things. We would return thee thanks now for this food that thou hast provided for our body's needs. Do bless it to us, and bless our time of fellowship together. And do remember this dear little girl so ill, we commend her to thyself, and her parents as well, and the family circle. Would it please thee to draw near and sustain them at this time, and put thy good healing hand upon this child. Thus we commit us unreservedly to thee, giving thanks in our Savior's precious name. Amen.